Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, January 15th, the year of our Lord, 2023. And this is the second Sunday after the Epiphany. It's a joy to welcome you here as we are starting off this new year in this season of Epiphany together, looking for signs of God light together, answering as best we can the question of who is God and what is God doing in our lives. And we begin all of that by celebrating and giving thanks and taking in the breath of life, the gift of this moment. And as you breathe, I pray, call to mind those things that are best, those things that are good, those things that are true and worthy of your time and attention. The people and the places and the memories that light you up inside and cause you to smile, turn your face toward the heavens and give thanks to God for all of it. And in this posture, we begin in worship. Please join with me in the opening prayer as printed in the bulletin. You can find today's bulletin, the order of worship, just over to the right or where you found today's podcast. Just click on that notes tab and it will come up for you. Let's begin. Perfect light of revelation, as you shone in the life of Jesus, whose epiphany we celebrate, so shine in us and through us, that we may become beacons of truth and compassion, enlightening all creation with deeds of justice and mercy. Amen. Friends, our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of John in the first chapter, verses 29 through 42. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel.' And John testified, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher. "Where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of your word, alive and among us, teaching us and guiding us. We pray that you will be present with us as we reflect on John's gospel today, that you will speak directly to our hearts, that you will provide us with encouragement, purpose, and direction. We ask, O God, save us from distraction and misinterpretation, and help us to listen for your voice. We ask this in your holy name and say, Amen. Friends, on this second Sunday after the Epiphany, we encounter this wonderful text in John's Gospel in the first chapter. This season of Epiphany, that is revelations of who God is and what God has done, who Jesus is and why has he come. We encounter the story of John the Baptist as John's public ministry is at the beginning of its end. And it starts here in verse 29 of chapter 1. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You may see him and he might be the familiar face in the crowd. You see him in the marketplace. Maybe you know him a little better. Maybe you know him by name. "Hey, Jesus, Jesus, son of Joseph." John is saying, "Hold on a minute. Through prayer, through revelation, I know something about him." And you may have noticed it too. You may have noticed there's something special about him. I don't know if it's the depth of his eyes or his demeanor or the kindness that he demonstrates in the marketplace. Or have you ever heard him teach at synagogue? "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Whoa. Now, we've read this, if we've been around church for a while, we've read this a million times. "Oh, yeah, that's Jesus, the Lamb of God." Not so then. What does he mean? How can you refer to Jesus as the Lamb of God? Well, that reveals itself at the end of the story, doesn't it? when we learn that Jesus is killed at the same time the Passover lambs are being killed in the temple. He has a new name here. This is one of the first of the new names, Jesus, Lamb of God. Let's read a little bit further now. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. Can't just let that slide away. John, you've been our teacher. You've been teaching us and educating us on our faith and helping us prepare for a thing that God is doing. Now you're pointing at Jesus as this Lamb of God, and that he's come before you, that he's ahead of you, but you're our teacher, John. Pause. He says, I myself don't know him. I can't even fully explain what's going on here, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And he testifies, he gives witness to, he says, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. And when I saw it, I have to remind you that I'd been in prayer. Lord, if I'm out here baptizing and I'm calling people to repentance, how will I know? God, how will I know that he's come? And through this prayer, the power of the Holy Spirit, a clarity of thinking through an epiphany, John is informed that you'll know who it is because you will see the Holy Spirit of God come upon him. And in your epiphany, in this heightened state of awareness, because you're paying attention, as we talked about last week, you'll see the Holy Spirit descend and on like a dove and just be all over him. And you will know that he is the Son of God. Yet another name. The ordinary Jesus, son of Joseph in the marketplace, who's also the Lamb of God, who's also the Son of God. John holds all this wisdom, knowledge in his spirit and shares it with his students. And then the moment comes. He's standing there with two disciples. And these two disciples had heard what he said, that here is the Lamb of God. And so what do? Their moment of being students of John, being students of the tradition, that comes into practice. And now they have to take action on what they've learned. And so what do? They followed Jesus in a new adventure, a life-changing, world-changing adventure begins. They follow Jesus. And in their first steps of following them, he asked them his opening question as their teacher. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" Let's pause with that question for a minute. Let's actually pause long enough to dare to imagine that Jesus asks us that same question. Verse 38. Jesus turned and saw them following. Let's expand it a little bit. Jesus turns and sees you following. And he says to you, "What are you looking for?" And can we put ourselves then in the mind of these two disciples? Where are you staying? And maybe for us in this time, in this place, it might be, "Jesus, where are you? In all the corners of this world, where could I find you? Where do you abide? And And so he says to them, and he says to you and to me, come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon for them. Maybe it's 8:30 in the morning where you are, or 5 p.m. What are you looking for? They're looking for, we're looking for a relationship. And a relationship that has a place, a location, and in this case, a face and a name. Something just beyond the book and the words on the page. That's what we're looking for. Then it carries on, because there's a moment here that I want us to lift up as well. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter, which also means rock. This chain of events that happens so quickly, John the Baptist, through Spirit-filled preaching and the act of baptism, has a class of students, if you will, that are ready and prepared to see the fullness of who Jesus is and why he's come. And a few of them come to abide with him, physically present with him. And so filled are they with the Spirit that he comes and he gets his brother, Andrew gets his brother Simon, and Jesus, just upon meeting him, knows his character. And he gives him a new name. I believe it's a name that was part of his DNA, but Jesus holds it up. You're stable. Maybe sometimes when we read it, you could say he might be dumb as a rock because he's impetuous. But it's, you're stable, Peter. You're a rock. On you, I can build this movement. And we learn others have names like Sons of Thunder. But if we pause for a bit and we ask, We hear the question, what are we looking for? And if we take time to abide with Jesus, knowing that there's a truth that for us it's about prayer, but there we are promised this body of Christ, that Jesus' body is alive, and it's alive in all of us, in a collective. Now, we gather here virtually, but I would say that you could cherish every human interaction as this, as opportunity to be this embodied Christ, anointed one. Because you might, like Peter, be a rock. You might be the rock of your family. You might be the stabilizing force of a rock. And one of you, maybe your name is compassion. Or the other one is diligence. Maybe your name is kindness. Maybe your name is forgiveness. Not the overlay, not the stuff that other people say about you or some accumulation of mistakes that you've made. Remember, this is the one who comes and takes away the sins of the world and reveals to us the heart of God that beats inside of each and every one of us and he gives each and every one of us a new name, even as he speaks the name, our given name. And thinking about names and looking at all the various names we have for Jesus here, and how Peter, or how Simon gets the new name Peter. In John's gospel, maybe the one line that just melts me every time is at the end of the story. When Mary comes looking for Jesus, and she doesn't recognize him as Jesus. Her name for him in her mind then is Gardener. But this stranger says to her, Mary. And she lights up. What are we looking for? Who are we? Who are we in God's sight? Because I believe the name that God has for you and the understanding of who you are is much more powerful and beautiful and Christ-like than you could ever imagine. So I pray in this season, on this day, we'll be like these disciples of John. We'll take the accumulated wisdom and experience of all of our lives, no matter how young or how old you are. And maybe, just maybe, he comes passing by and we follow. And we think deeply about what we're looking for and what it might be to spend the afternoon with him, and how he might show us things about ourselves that light us up. And in that light and in that joy about the best of who we are and how God made us to be, the sin falls away. The ungodly falls away. The shame, doubt, regret, it turns to ash in the loving light of Christ. It's brilliant epiphany. It allows us to claim a new name for ourselves, to think deeply about what it means to call ourselves Christians, Christ followers. It's deeply good news, to which I say, Amen. Let's join together in prayer. God, we gather together in the opening weeks of this new year, and in many ways we want to be known by new names, fresh identity, to be anointed by your grace and peace and forgiveness, so that we could be like Peter, a rock and a foundation. We could be like others who bring wisdom and truth and healing and compassion and the various names that we give those things. And help us open our eyes, O God, so that we could see the God light in other people. And if they can't see it in themselves, O God, help us to reveal it to them. We pray for this good world of yours, O God. It seems so very chaotic at times. But we remember that you are the God that brings order to chaos. Come, Holy Spirit. Breathe over this land and bring your grace and your peace, your healing and your hope. And God, as we abide with you today, we just make quiet space to sit in your presence and listen for your voice. We break our silence. And we remember that as students, as disciples, we learn things and we put them into practice. We've learned a prayer. So in this moment, we put that prayer into practice. Be with us and inspire us, O God, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we move on from this moment, I pray that you will spend some time listening for the voice of Jesus as he speaks your name, the name that he sees written on your heart, the name that God has given you. Our God, that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who knows you deeply and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.